But when I'm on vacation, your girl gets up, has a cappuccino, a macchiato, about 4,000 calories, and then I am opening up a crisp glass of Pinot Gris at about 10:59. And I don't want to hear it. Okay. I want no judgment. People are like, breakfast wine. Yes, it is breakfast wine. You want to know why? Because I'm clocked out. I'm not on the job. And if I have a couple white wines before noon, you're still going to get great content.
On this episode of The Commercial Break,
this young girl is like, how are you going to light that? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, like, what, where does it plug in? And I said, you mean a cigarette? I said, we're going to use fire. We're going to use a match. Or like, you know, somebody else has a lighter. And I was like, these kids just plug everything in and they hit the base. They don't even know how to light a real cigarette.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the director of Divinity Labs, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for coming back. We certainly do appreciate it. So we're back from the big holiday weekend, big Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and I'm sure everyone had a good time. I hope you had a very nice Thanksgiving with you and yours. Chrissy and I were here doing 6 to 12 episodes a week, so in case you missed it, feel free to...
Well, we had turkey delivered to the studio.
We were literally here the entire time. Chrissy, we're intrepid. We don't stop.
No.
We're here all the time just for you. As a matter of fact, we're so on time and here just for you that we recorded this before Thanksgiving to make sure it got out on time. So we're just pretending like we're back from Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to a big gobby meal and a big old nappity nap. That's what makes me happy. Thanksgiving, for some reason, is just my favorite holiday of the year. I mean, Christmas is like the sentimental favorite. But favorite as far as feeling no stress, no pressure. I know no one's going to be working on Friday. No one's going to call me and tell me I owe them money. You know, it's like Friday is going to be a relaxed day.
Bill collectors take a break.
That's right. Then we just roll into the weekend. No fuss, no muss. That's the kind of holiday I enjoy, Chrissy.
Me too.
The kind where no one's calling for TCB money. No one's calling for the TCB money that we're not making. But I do want to thank everybody who listened to the Veer Das, downloaded the Veer Das episode. Everybody who responded so positively on Instagram. I think we got like 150,000 views on that TikTok reel that we put out in just like a couple hours.
That's wild.
It's insane. But, you know, he's extraordinarily popular in a place where they have a whole lot of human beings to watch Instagram reels.
That's true. Plus, he's traversing six continents.
Everywhere but Antarctica. Keeps on leaving. Everyone wants to leave out Antarctica.
I know.
And I don't understand it.
Antarctica.
I know. Antarctica.
Do
you have trouble saying that without saying Antarctica?
Yeah.
Like, you can't say just, like, quickly, like, Antarctica. Because it sounds all wordy together. So I always have to pause and say Antarctica.
Yes.
But maybe that's part of, like, my speech impediment coming back, is that sometimes I have to really pronounce words very well, or my tongue gets lazy and it goes to the side.
Some are just tongue twisters.
That's right. Speaking of twisters, I have a question to ask you about your personal life. You know how I want to be a fly on that wall over that house so much. I want to know what you and Jeff are up to so bad.
I feel like you have this vision that isn't it, but I'm just going to let you roll with it.
My vision is a nudist resort. With a lot of half songs playing.
It's just a party all the time. Nude party.
I just have this vision of
Henry Fonda's there.
Yeah, Jeff's naked ass cooking in the kitchen with like an apron on or a frock.
I'm just going to let you think about that.
Well, hey, listen. Let me have my wishes and dreams, huh? Can I have my dreams?
Sure.
You can take my money. You can take my house. You can probably take my dog if you ask nicely. But you can't take my vision of Jeff cooking naked in the house.
We both do.
That's right.
Yeah. But everything's flying.
I thought about something the other night. It really got in my... It stuck
actually,
in my craw.
Actually, naked cooking... Let me just say, naked cooking would really not work in my house because I injure myself all of the time.
Yes.
Burns, cuts, scrapes, that kind of thing. I have a first aid kit and a burn kit specifically in the kitchen.
If that's a good idea.
What happened there?
Because when Chrissy's cooking, it's probably like this. 2:30 in the morning! Well, that's like, go to bed!
Chrissy's late night kitchen does pop up a few times.
Oh,
it's a pop-up
hey,
kitchen.
Listen, I've been the beneficiary of some late night Chrissy kitchens, and I do have to say it has come in handy on occasion.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it was Domino's knocking at the door, but sometimes it was even too late for Domino's. Even though they deliver till 8 in the morning or whatever it is. So Chrissy would whip us up something like, you know, ramen noodles with cheese or something like that.
Yeah.
It was always so delicious. Not because Chrissy doesn't have better skills in the kitchen, but because Brian has no food in his refrigerator. He just has packs and packs.
I can work with what you got.
So here is my question.
Okay.
What do you make your bed every day?
Yes.
Do you make it like a hotel bed? Do you tuck in the corners, tuck it tight, leave it nice? Or do you just kind of flip the covers up and throw the pillows on?
No, make it nice. We make it nice. However, I do have to say we do not use a top sheet.
You don't use a top sheet?
We went sheetless. Top sheetless years ago. It was part of this bedding line. And I thought, you know what? That is a great idea.
No clothes.
Skin.
No full songs. Skin on skin on the comforter. Do you have a duvet or a comforter?
Duvet.
Dick to duvet ratio in Chrissy's house is like 100. There's 100 dick per every 100.
It's so much easier. I have to say I've loved it because you know how the top sheet can get kind of tangled up.
That's what I was going to talk to you
whatever.
About.
Whatever. No, that takes that away.
You only go top sheet. You only do duvet.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw it right on you. So you have a
really nice duvet.
So you have a fitted sheet and then you have the duvet.
Yep,
and then you just get under the duvet.
And lots of good pillows and
you don't
blankies.
Feel cold? Do you have a blanket that goes on top of you, on top of the duvet?
It's there in case
okay,
we want it.
Just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like to sleep cold?
I do.
Does Jeff like to sleep cold?
Yes.
Do you guys turn it down to like 67, 68
yes.
at night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do I. Astrid drives Astrid crazy. She wants it at 70. It's that 2 degrees. Sometimes she'll go and she'll switch the Nest on me.
Yeah.
But she doesn't realize that I have it programmed on my phone. So I get alerts and I'm like, how dare you turn it down? How dare you turn it up to 69? I had it at 68, the perfect temperature for sleeping.
Well, the way I see it, you can always kind of
add.
Know, yes.
You can never take away.
Exactly.
Right. If you're just down to the duvet and then it gets too hot, then really your tits up in the bed
yeah.
and the dick to duvet ratio goes down, way down, 0 dick to 100 duvet. I was going to talk to you about this because I went into the room the other night, and one of the kids was laying in the bed. And sometimes the kids will sleep, but that's, you know, if they fall asleep on the bed, whatever, we go in there. One of the kids was there, and Astrid was sleeping in the room with the baby, because on occasion she still does that, right?
Yes.
So sometimes we're separated, not because we don't have a lovely marriage. We have a lovely marriage, but we did it right with the most recent child that we have, the 17th child that we have. What we did was leave the baby in the crib. Leave the crib in its own room.
Yes.
Put the parent there and don't make them rely on you to go to sleep, right? They need to be in their own space.
Mm-hmm.
The other 16 children we fucked during the pandemic by allowing them to sleep in the bed whenever
in.
They want. Everybody in. And I think a lot of parents did this.
Of course.
And I think it was important in that moment to hold them tight, let them, it gives them some sense of security and comfort. You know, hey, the world's a little screwy right now with the masks and the weirdness, but we're here at home, we're together.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, I go in, I take a shower like I normally do, this 3.5 hour shower, and then I come out and I adjust the covers and the pillows and make sure that one of my kids is tucked in correctly and all that other stuff. And then I go to my side of the bed and I hop on, and that sheet, that middle sheet, the top sheet is all ka-fucked up,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not that I know this because it's so backwards that I can tell, like, it, you know, it's clearly twisted off the bed. It's just a little bit out of position, and I can feel it on my feet and legs.
Yep.
And I got so bothered by this, Chrissy, that I literally spent 20 minutes remaking the bed while my child was in it just to make sure that the top sheet was sitting correctly so my feet didn't get irritated with some weird flap of top sheet hanging out down below the nether regions. Do you know what I'm saying?
You should go topless.
I don't know if I could go topless. This seems like a dangerous place to be.
As long as you have a good quality duvet.
See, that's the thing.
With the good quality cover for it, you know, it's a world of difference.
I shared with Astrid the other day. I said, hey, we should really get a new duvet because there's goose feathers in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a while, all that extra dead skin and the oils, mm-hmm. it all starts to build up. Even if you have obviously you should have a duvet cover on it. Even if you have a duvet cover, it's still making its way through. It's microscopic stuff. It builds up. It makes it heavy and flat, right?
Yes.
So I say, so, you know, it's been a couple of years. We should get a new one. She goes, it's been 15 years. And I go, what? And she goes, it's been 15 years since you got a new duvet. And I said, I haven't even known you for 15 years. She goes, exactly my point. We've had this duvet since you were dating the last chick before me.
Oh, no.
And then I remembered it, like, dawned on me. She's right. The last time I got to get a new duvet. Mm-hmm. It's like priority number one. So please donate to Brian's Duvet GoFundMe, now available online everywhere.
Well, you're in luck because it's like the time for sales right now.
Yeah, that's true. And they are saying that prices for Christmas gifts are going to come down this year because there's over inventory now. Now we're oversupplied. We were undersupplied. Right. Now we're oversupplied. And inflation is coming down. And so it's going to be a little bit better for Christmas. It doesn't really matter when you don't have any money, whether or not the prices are up or the prices are down. It's still all untenable.
Or if you need an emergency new duvet.
Emergency new duvet. You know what my dad and my stepmom do is they say, okay, X amount of dollars per couple, right?
Yeah.
So the kids are separate, meaning the grandkids are separate. They get their own little budgets in their own little world, and we'll buy presents for them and each individually. Mm-hmm. However, to avoid confusion and chaos between the two human beings who are married or boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, we're going to do this amount of money per couple. And if you're single, you get all that money to yourself. So we have to pick like a couple gift that we want. So I feel like I'm going to go duvet angle.
Oh, you got to go duvet.
It fits well within there. And then I'm going to ask for, you know, Taylor Swift tickets in Toronto or something like that to make my wife happy. Yeah, I want to make sure we use that money as wisely as possible. And I think a duvet is there. Because now I'm ultimately irritated by the fact that this thing is 15 years old and it's sitting on my body.
Yeah.
Now I have a whole nother level of OCD going on. I can't go topless until I get a new duvet.
True.
That's all I got to say, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. I'll keep everyone posted because I'm sure this is going to be the first thing they think about when they get back from their Thanksgiving vacation is whether or not Brian has a new duvet.
Oh, it's definitely top of mind.
I'll let you know. We feel super blessed here at the commercial break, Chrissy. We have started taking on guests. We had Veer last week. The episode did great. Veer was fucking hilarious. We love us a little Veer Doss around here. And then right after that, today, we get Heather McMahon.
Yeah.
Superstar, rising comic. I mean, not even rising comic. She has made it.
She's made it.
Yeah. Netflix special is out right now.
World tours.
World tours, just like Veer. I don't know if she's hitting all seven continents, not minus Antarctica. But
she's definitely hitting Australia.
She's going to Australia. Mm-hmm. She's got a couple dates here in the United States. And we feel grateful just to have her here for a conversation because she's also the guest host of the Today Show sometimes. Yeah. That's insane.
And she's a hometown girl with us.
She's a hometown girl. She's an Atlanta girl. Woman is 36 years old. She's been multiple times guest host on the Today Show. She has a Netflix special that just came out called Son I Never Had. She just filmed her next special at the Fox, two sold out shows, the Fox Theater here in Atlanta. You can go and get tickets to her tour, heatherontour.com. That's heatherontour.com. You can go to her Instagram that made her famous. That's kind of the craziest part about Heather's story to me, and I'd like to get into it with her when she comes on the show. The craziest part about this is she goes from like Instagram musings to co-hosting the Today Show, selling out the Fox Theater, ESPN Game Day. And I can't wait to talk to her because she's fucking hilarious, Chrissy.
She really is. And she's been working at this for a long time. But, you know, to the public eye, it does seem like it was one day here, one day there.
And that's all that matters at the end of the day, right? Is that when you make it, you know, that sometimes people just light on fire. Much like the commercial break has not done. Right. That's the opposite of fire. Yeah. And sometimes you have water thrown on you. That's what happens here at the commercial break. We're happy to take the punches. Some. Yeah. So heatherontour.com at Heather McMahon on Instagram. And I'd also like to tell you that she's got a podcast. Oh. She does it by herself. I can't wait to get into this with her too, because you remember when I tried to do the podcast by myself.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Brian Green. I'm a father, a son, a pragmatic pragmatist, and I want to talk to you about all the things that I've done in my life. Well, over two people tuned into that special episode of the commercial break. It was the least downloaded episode of the commercial break for at least 100 weeks, and then I took it down because I couldn't take it anymore.
You quickly pulled me into your realm.
Yes. Thank God that you were there officially, you were there episode number one, this version of the commercial break.
Right.
But unofficially, there was one episode of the commercial break by myself, and then Chrissy came on. But we are 5,000 episodes in, and we still haven't caught on fire. But when it happens, I hope it happens like it did with Heather, because what an amazing story. And then
I just love her.
Being a hometown girl, I feel like, I feel like in some sense, we're already friends. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that?
Oh, yeah.
We're already friendly with each other.
Yeah, we had a lot in common. We talk about that, so.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what I want to do. Let's take our first break. We're back with Heather McMahon after these commercials. Pay attention, kids. This is gonna be, what is it?
Epic.
No, the tiramisu, bitches. I thought you were gonna say tiramisu, bitches. This is gonna
be tiramisu, bitches.
I say tiramisu.
Yeah.
Because I worked at that Italian restaurant where we were giving away bottles of Chianti Classico. And I heard straight from an Italian man, tiramisu, Brian. Hey, table number two with a bottle of old vinegar and some stale bread. Please, Brian, please. Where are the soft shell crabs? I charge $50 per crab. Where are the soft shell crabs, Brian? Chianti Classico. Let's take a short break and we'll be back with more Italian shenanigans. Heather McMahon.
Yes.
There you go. All right. We'll be back.
Okay, Brian. Shh. Let me give the people what they want. Our social media handles. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. If, like all my Hinge dates, you are thirsty for more, give us a call and leave us a message at 626-ASK-TCB3. Or send us a text, no sexting please, at 855-TCB-8383. And, of course, go to tcbpodcast.com to see everything there is to see. Now let's hear from our sponsors and then the show must go on.
This episode is sponsored in part by our good friends at Uncommon Goods. All right, Christmas is coming up. We're all doing the mad dash to figure out what everybody wants, go to the stores, buy online, all that other stuff. But me personally, and my brothers can tell you this, I like to be very unique about my gift giving. So unique that no one has any clue what I'm thinking when I get them a present. In other words, I get gag gifts every year for my brothers and some of my immediate family, and I always love to see their faces when they open up the gift. Disappointed they didn't get anything real, but they get a good chuckle nonetheless. I am so pleased that Uncommon Goods is now making it much easier for me to find these particular items. And it's not just about fun and gag gifts. They have everything. Home items, decor, corporate gifts, jewelry. If you need it, they have it. This is a truly unique shopping experience. Everything you see is made by small artists and independent businesses. These items are often very unique and handmade. I was on the website this morning looking for my gag gifts, and they have a whole section of fun and quirky gifts. Two things stood out to me. Number one, they actually have a phone jail. It's like a cage, like a small cage with a phone holder in it for like three or four phones, and then there's a lock. And if you have the key, no one's getting their phones. I hope my wife never finds that particular gift. How about this one? An actual game, a board game called Ganja Land. That's going to be fun for all the kids. I really like this company, and they like you. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TCB. That's uncommongoods.com/TCB for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We are all out of the ordinary. And that's something every TCB listener can agree upon. Again, go to uncommongoods.com/TCB for 15% off your first gift. Go to this website. You'll have a ton of fun. And thank you to Uncommon Goods for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break. And Heather is joining us right now. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm great. How are you?
We are doing wonderfully. We really appreciate your time today. Thank you for coming on. We have so many things in common. I don't even know where to start. And I mean we, like the collective commercial break. You're here now?
I love this. Let's make it creepy. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go into it.
Someone's going to jail today, Heather. Someone's going to jail today.
I love it.
So we're here in Atlanta. You're also here in Atlanta.
Yep.
And you've been here since you were born, right? You're like an Atlanta native?
Atlanta native. I bounced around. I lived in New York and LA. I seem to go between those two every couple of years. But after the pandemic, Atlanta is home. Like, this is where when I am on the road touring, I come right back to Atlanta.
Awesome.
Born and raised.
I got to be honest. I love Atlanta. Like I was born in Chicago, but I came here when I was 13. So I was like, you know, just a kid, but I do love me some Atlanta. I feel like it's a really cool town. It's a very diverse town. It's like, I don't know. I feel like we miss some of the drama that other big cities get into. And I wonder if that's just because everyone's like too nonchalant to give a shit. We're all just here trying to get along.
People are always surprised when they're like, oh, I'm from Atlanta. And it's funny because being in the industry, like people from LA, New York love to talk shit about Atlanta. I'm like, first of all, we have everything that y'all have.
Exactly.
Okay? So I don't want to hear it. we have great food, a great entertainment scene. And but we also have like a great quality of life, like mm-hmm. Southern hospitality at its finest. But we also, like you said, kind of don't give a shit. We're like, do your thing, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. There's just like a level of cool about this city that I think you have to live here to really understand. So I was so happy to see that you're from Atlanta because I knew automatically we had one connection. But now let's get really weird. Because okay, Kristen Joy Hoadley here, my best friend yeah. for almost two decades, when I started watching you, which by the way, you flip up on my Instagram all the time, which this is your path to success, right? This is how you got this from right. Instagram to Today Show it's co-host. Amazing. It's amazing. Like it's an unbelievable story. We'll get into it. But Chris, instantaneously, I feel like you're a version of Kristen Joy Hoadley. And then Chrissy's.
She's my better version.
Yes. Let's just say that. She's your better half. She's your younger half. That's for sure. Yeah. Chrissy walks into the studio and starts talking about all these similarities that the two of you have that I think is quite strange. So as not to appear as the stalker, I'm going to let Chrissy discuss that with you.
All right.
I've made a list here, Heather. First of all, tiramisu, bitch.
Tiramisu, bitch.
Okay, so we both enjoy a good breakfast wine. I'm partaking right now. Yep.
I am having a nice coffee, but I will have wine at about 4. Yeah.
There you go. Uh-huh. There you go.
We'll be thinking of you. thoughts and prayers.
We both have husbands named Jeff, who have great character. Just amazing.
I love that.
Yep. We both got married in Italy.
Oh, what part?
We were in the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, beautiful. It was just there in September. We got married in Tuscany, but bada bing, bada boom.
I mean, the whole country. I love every part of it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Tuscany, Amalfi Coast. I mean, we're really pulling some short straws at this point.
Yeah. We both love to stress clean and organize. I heard you say that, and I'm the same way.
I will have a manic episode in about 30 minutes and tear apart my house.
The commercial break's going to drive her crazy.
I love it.
Like all our other listeners.
If you saw my, this is, I just pulled this out of my work bag. It's just a random t-shirt and a bra. Like this is, it's a mess.
I love it. Now I don't have two dogs named after pasta, but let me say, I mean, rigatoni and macaroni are the two best names for two Frenchies I've ever heard in my life. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. I think you should name the things that you love after other things that you love. So obviously my husband and I are two heavyset Italians. So we love rigatoni is our favorite pasta. And then we got macaroni from a vet in Mississippi. And I went to school in Mississippi. So I'm like macaroni and cheese, macaroni. It's all, you know, it all worked. Came out in the wash.
Absolutely. And that's the other connection I forgot about. My husband went to Ole Miss. So
hotties.
And you,
I love that.
You went to Old Miss, and one of our intrepid researchers here was telling me that you were like the orientation person for all the new girls at Delta Gamma, like Gamma Rush. Yes. What's going on here? Tell me about it.
So I was technically like, it's called like new member educator. So I was in charge of teaching you the ins and outs of what it was like to be a Delta Gamma. I was horrible at my job. I taught them nothing, but I was in charge. So junior year, I was an officer. I was in charge of planning bid day, and that was really fun. So I threw the wildest party ever, but I was honestly terrible. If I could go back, I would have been far more responsible, but I was partying a little too hard in college to ever have like, you know, an officer job.
That's amazing.
How weird to you is this journey that you've taken from Instagram to Today Show co-host? Like I understand, from reading up about you that this was your life's passion. One of the things that really struck me is you said in one of these magazine articles, like Atlanta Magazine or something, one of those softball magazine articles, that when other kids were playing dress up or cowboys and whatever they were playing, you were imagining yourself as a guest of David Letterman or Conan O'Brien. And that resonated with me. Like that was me as a kid. My grandmother would always watch Letterman at night or Carson at night. And I'm a little older than you. But I always imagined myself being interviewed by one of those people. So when you said that in that article, I was like, wow, that really resonates with me. So this was a life's passion, but it really didn't, it kind of took off in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, my friends were always playing like teacher or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I literally was always sitting on the couch waiting for my sister to pretend to be Jay Leno to interview me for whatever hit movie I had coming out. Like, I don't know why. I know it sounds so weird, but even as a little kid, I mean, people used to ask me, what are you going to be when you get older? And I said, a comedian. I thought that, or if a teenager was a full-time job.
Nice.
So, you know, I thought everybody had a white Jeep and that's what you did. You went to work and you were just like Cher Horowitz from Clueless. I always knew I was going to do comedy, but you know, it's funny now because people see the you know, that I'm on this trajectory, but the people forget that it's been like a 12-year grind.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's awesome. I love the women at the Today Show, Hoda and Jenna. They're so good to me.
I love
whenever
Hoda.
I have a new tour or, you know, whatever I'm promoting, I'm always on there with those gals and they're just the best. But it is kind of out of body for me some days. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is my life. But I still feel like I have so far to go.
You know,
we just had the first Netflix special come out. It was a hit. I'm like, I can't believe this. Like now that I can go on Netflix and see my face and I know that I put in that work for so many years, I'm like, hey, this is kind of wild.
Yes. Cheers to you on that. Congratulations.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
The special is fucking hilarious. Yeah. I'll put a link in the show notes and we'll give all the details on the show notes and as we wrap the interview. This, you just finished your second special too. The first one just came out and then I read that you were here last week. You know, you went to the Fox Dogs game, you're on game day. You played the Fox Theater, sold out two nights. We have friends that went. They were blown away. They said that you were fucking hilarious.
Oh good. I'm so glad.
Are you producing this one yourself?
Yeah. So it kind of works the way it works these days is a lot of, you know, comedians, we make our own stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then we take it out to market. So, you know, I'm pretty sure Netflix will get the first right to, you know, to the first pass for this next one. You know, and I really haven't done a traditional trajectory. Like a lot of people, you know, they take 2 years in between specials, but I shot my special that's out on Netflix now a year ago. So this was kind of just like how it rolls. So, and of course I knew the first time I performed at the Fox, I said, I have to shoot a special here. Like it is, the staff is incredible. It's the most amazing theater for me. It's so iconic as a kid. I grew up seeing everything, every comedian, every musical act at the Fox. So that was important to me right out the gate. But to answer your question, am I doing too much? Yes. Right now in the last couple weeks, I have done too much.
I told Chrissy, I said, I have this dream that we do this version of the commercial break at the Fox Theater. You know, go do a live show. First of all, we're too chicken shit to do that. The microphone and this cozy room that's supposed to be my daughter's is wonderful. And I get nervous about getting on a stage. But the second thing is I'm not sure we could fill the Buckhead Saloon.
Well, we were going to do a dive bar tour.
Yeah, we're going to do a dive bar tour. I think that's where we should start.
Like Northside Tavern.
I'll tell you what, though. I didn't know if I could either, and you will be surprised if people from your hometown will come out in droves to support. And it is the coolest thing. You know, I think you just got to, you know, if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. And that is how I've done my whole career. I've just been like, you know what? I'm going to throw shit against the wall, see what sticks. If it brings me joy and makes me laugh, I know somebody else is going to connect to it. And it's just been a ride since then.
I feel like we have the exact same attitude here at the commercial break. It's almost bankrupt my family at least three times. And Chrissy's come been along on the rides. You went to private school, GAC private school here in Atlanta. And I went to St. Pius, so I just say that because
I love that.
Soccer old rivals. Yeah. Only I was in school 36 years before you were in high school. So you come home, you play your hometown crowd here at the Fox Theater, which when I know that your other special was filmed in Kentucky, I was like, why didn't she do this at the Fox Theater? Like this would have been perfect. But of course, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do before you head to the Fox Theater and sell out for two nights. You have an after party. Someone shows up pantsless. We were just listening to your podcast, and I swear this funny. This story is so funny.
A trend, but only with people that look like, you know, Hailey Bieber and Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner.
Not everybody.
I'll tell you right now, not my fat ass.
Not me. You know.
So the trend became popular to buy, I think it was like Prada or Miu Miu, one of those fabulous Italian brands, had this like look where everybody just kind of wore essentially a Speedo with tights, and that became a look.
Yeah.
Very few people, like you said, can pull that off. Well, a young woman somehow snuck into my after party, and we thought that that was the look she was going for. She ended up emailing my team on Monday, and I read it aloud on my podcast. She's like, by the way, I was not going for that look. I just lost my pants somehow at the Fox Theater.
I heard that.
How did she fucking lose her pants at the Fox Theater?
She said she took like an edible and had drank way too much. And then it just went pantless. And I said, that is concerning.
Was this at the terrace? Was this across the street at the terrace?
Yes. And she had on like a bodysuit. So, you know, a lot of women wear like these, you know, tight bodysuits underneath a great outfit, but it was a thong bodysuit. So
right.
When she walked into the party, I just thought, oh, she's got like a leotard on. And then when she turned around, I said, that's ass.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got some hilarious. Wild fans. I love it.
I do.
So
they never cease to surprise me. I am always on my toes. I'm like, what's going to happen today? Women don't get out of the house enough, is what I've learned. And they're all getting crazy.
You got to go check out Heather's podcast, which is fucking hilarious. I know how hard it is to do a show by like a podcast by yourself.
Yeah.
I did exactly two of them at the very beginning of this program. Now we're like 600,000 episodes right. in or something. But I did two of them by myself, and it was terribly unfunny. I started talking about I was a father, I'm a son, I'm a pragmatic pragmatist. I don't even know what I was talking about. I was so nervous.
You like jumped the matrix. You were
totally.
In another dimension.
Totally. Yeah. And the funny thing is, I won't get into it, but that's probably one of our more popular episodes at first.
Yeah.
But is it difficult to do that podcast on your own, or is it just because you're used to kind of musing into the camera by yourself? Do you feel like you can carry it on your own? I'm just curious from like a, I don't know, like just a minutia question. Is that difficult to carry the podcast on your own?
I'll tell you what, every week I surprise myself. I'm like, I can't do it today. I will. And I've had the podcast for 4 years, but we only recently started doing video elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a safe space for me to sit in this basement office and literally just let it rip for an hour. And it was just so cathartic. But now I have to be on camera and kind of like pay attention to whether or not like, you know, my bronzer isn't smudged.
Right.
And that takes it a little bit out of it for me. But I know if, again, I need to see some sort of like medical professional, but for some reason, for an hour, I can just let it rip. And it's very fun and cathartic for me. But there are days where I'm like, well, what the fuck did I just talk about? You know,
we do the same thing.
Yeah.
We do the same
thing. People listen.
Yeah.
They do. They listen. We cannot believe it. We are beside ourselves that anybody chooses to listen, let alone the amount of people that listen. It's it's just insane to me. The podcast is really fucking hilarious. You have to go check it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. But here's another question I have. You were, and it makes me laugh to even think about this. You were telling a story about how you had to record two nights for your special, because of course that's what you do. You got to do pickups and you got to make sure that you hit the lines and you don't want, you know, flub ups and stuff like that. But you recorded the first night.
One
and you
night
had,
was different.
You
than
had
the
to
other.
Reprimand the crowd the second night.
I love it.
Get into this a little bit because I think it's too funny.
So it is a little different when you go to see a taping for a special because there's cameras everywhere. So I always like, you know, I tried to warn my audience, hey, just so you know, like if you're talking about something illegal, the camera can pick it up, right? I didn't think this would be a problem. I still had a great time. Like I still perform, like I'm doing my regular stage show, but at the end, then I'll have to do pickups, which is you just come out. You might, you know, if you flubbed a line or, you know, kind of chewed on your words, you'll re-say stuff just to get a clean take on camera.
Sure.
Well, Thursday night, we're going back and we're, you know, we're replaying some of the videos. And I can literally hear a woman turning to her friend at some point, just being like, you want to do ketamine in the bathroom? I'm like, what is happening? What is happening?
Who goes into a K-hole on a comedy
on a
show?
Thursday night.
Who does that?
I mean, I can understand taking mushrooms,
right.
being on an edible. The ketamine is probably the last thing I'd want to take and then have to sit quietly for 2 hours.
Exactly.
But it was wild. And so then Friday we came out, my director, Jen Zabrowski, she directed my first special. She came out and gave like, you know, it's like a packed house. It's like 5,000 people. I think she put the fear of God in them. She was like, do not mess this up. We have one shot. Hilarious. I came out, everybody was sitting like crisscross applesauce, like perfect children. And I'm like, all right, don't know how to handle this. So it was wild.
Where are you picking that up? Is it because you have microphones in the crowd to catch the crowd noise and then they're just like super sensitive, so they're picking up conversation?
Yeah, it just so happened that these two rambunctious ladies were sitting right next to one of the cameras. So, you know.
$1,000,
wow.
It's the two people I knew that went to the show. $1,000, it's the two people I know. They are...
I would have thought it was the lady who didn't have pants
right.
on, but she came on Friday night, so, you know.
I only do ketamine under therapeutic circumstances, Heather. I'll have
go.
Everyone know that. And under duress. A K-hole is not where I want to be during a comedy show or any other public event for that matter.
I try to tell people it's really different. Like, if you're going to see Harry Styles, if you're going to go see Drake at State Farm Arena, like, Get as messed up as you want. But coming to see comedy, it's so wild to me. I'm like, you're paying you know, premium for a good ticket. I would want to hear what people have to say.
Right. 1,000%.
Yeah, you would want to make sure that you actually understand the material that's coming at you. You're there to laugh.
Yeah.
Chrissy and I reviewed this video. Heather, it's so fucking funny. I don't know if you've seen this on TikTok or Instagram. There's a guy. He's at the Raiders game. And there's not much context to the video. It comes on. You literally see a guy. He's kind of laughing and giggling. And then the camera pans down toward his lap. And he is taking a fucking bump of cocaine in the stadium, in the end zone, packed house, Sunday night football. He is just sitting there doing blow. And I'm like, you're ruining it for the rest of us. Stop it. Now, what are you doing?
I mean, Vegas.
Yeah, it was Vegas. Fair enough.
Was he picked up on like the main broadcast or just somebody on TikTok picked him up?
His shithead friend recorded it and then posted it to Instagram. First of all, he's probably divorced without children right now. Sid has no job.
And he's also, the NFL has banned him from ever going to any game ever again.
But my only thought was, not about the poor bastard who just got videotaped and put up there or breaking all rules of drug etiquette, is that I don't want to be stuck somewhere sitting with thousands of people when I'm high. I just don't. I want to be at home like normal people do. Normal paranoid people.
I'm right there with you. I'm only 36, but I now have like in my little clutch, you know, when I go to a concert, I've got like electrolyte tablets.
Yeah.
You know, my biggest vice is I have a couple drinks and I love like a vacation cigarette. You know, I'm like, we only live once. Who's got a menthol? We were at a party in the Hamptons. My best friend Ray and I were at this place called Surf Lodge in the Hamptons this summer, and I already felt like I was too old. I was like, it was a day party. I'm like, it's loud. Oh my God, where can I sit? My feet hurt. And we asked for a cigarette from somebody. So somebody passes over a cigarette, and this young girl, and this shows how different the generations are. This young girl is like, how are you going to light that? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, like, where does it plug in? And I said, you mean a cigarette? I said, we're going to use fire. We're going to use a match. Or like, you know, somebody else has a lighter. And I was like, these kids just plug everything in and they hit the vapes. They don't even know how to light a real cigarette.
I know. Yes.
Have they never seen a movie? You got to light a cigarette to be cool and only do it when you're drunk because that's the only time it really matters.
Yeah.
That is the only time to smoke a cigarette is when you've had 45 dirty martinis because that's the only thing that's going to keep you from throwing up.
This is so true.
I feel like cigarettes and alcohol, just they were made in some kind of heaven together. Yeah. It's like milk and cereal out of peanut butter and jelly.
I agree.
Speaking of food. I got a quick question for you. F, marry, kill. Ready?
Okay.
The Thanksgiving Day sides edition.
Because we heard your meats edition.
We heard your meats edition.
And it was so hilarious.
So now it made
the
us think of
honey baked ham story with you putting it on and letting the neighborhood dogs go crazy. was like, I fucking love honey baked ham. I love it too.
Yeah, it doesn't get enough love. And I think there's this like quiet revolution though that everybody is like starting to kind of murmur amongst themselves, like, hey, are you guys doing turkey this year? And everyone's like, no. I was at the doctor's office this morning and the lady like doing, you know, checking my vitals was like, we're doing roast beef. What are you guys doing? I was like, it's like a dirty secret. I'm like, we're actually doing filet mignon. We're not even doing turkey. Everyone's revolting against the turkey.
I'm bringing it out into the open because yesterday on the show, Chrissy and I were sharing about our Thanksgivings and like a lot of families, I have a split Thanksgiving because of divorced parents.
Right.
So one of the Thanksgivings, I can't take too much turkey. I'm not interested. Like, okay, one turkey, good turkey serving, and then maybe a turkey sandwich later on in the evening. But I don't want turkey five times. I just don't want it.
Yeah, that's too much.
Totally agree with you. Yeah.
We did chili Thanksgiving, and I loved it. And I intend to repeat. It was good.
That's a great idea. All right, what am I fuck, marrying, killing?
Yeah. Stuffing, cranberry sauce, yams. Also known as sweet potatoes here in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Try this one.
Okay,
I'm throwing fire.
I'm going to kill cranberry sauce only because it's messy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's already a little bloody. It's done.
It's runny and weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no matter how you make it, I don't need it in my life. I'm gonna marry sweet potatoes.
Okay.
Yams. Because there's something hearty, grounding. It's always there for you. You can have a sweet potato a million different ways. And then I'm going to fuck the shit out of some stuff.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's how I would have answered.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. It can be a little spicy. You can add a little rosemary. You can add a little, you know, chorizo sausage. Whatever your flavor is, you can keep it sexy with stuffing.
Are you so Southern that it is a tradition or has been a tradition in your family or somewhere to put oysters in stuffing. Have you done this?
No, that's not our thing. So the funny thing is, I'm a Southern belle. My dad was super Southern, but my mom's from Boston. So basically every meal I eat is Italian.
Some kind of Italian.
Oh, we used to have pans of lasagna at our Thanksgivings. Yeah.
Well, lasagna, I feel like, could go well with any meal. Lasagna is just like a good go-to, I feel
like. That's true.
Agreed.
Yeah. I was married. Well, I'm married now. I was have an ex-wife, and her family made this oyster casserole as a substitute for stuffing.
I can't get behind that.
One time she went to work, and I could see she was stressed out about this oyster casserole she had to make for the family. So I'm like, don't worry, I'll do it for you. And she gives me the ingredients and then the recipe, and it's like canned oysters. And I just... Yeah. Almost threw up in my mouth because I thought to myself, what in the fuck does oysters have to do with Thanksgiving? What in the world does this have to do with Thanksgiving? And they assured me it was a Southern thing, even though I'm 99% sure it's not a Southern thing.
Well, actually, it is kind of a Southern thing. You know you know what's making a comeback is like smoked canned fish.
Oh, right.
Smoked oysters. I actually picked some up the other day at Trader Joe's because I saw a thing on TikTok and somebody was like, take saltines and like mustard and then a smoked oyster. And apparently it's supposed to blow your tits off. It's supposed to be good. But I also opened the smoked oysters and I was like, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, that's what I did when I opened the cans.
Sardines are making a big comeback.
My wife loves sardines. She's Venezuelan and half Spanish, half Venezuelan. So sardines like run in the blood or something like that. My father-in-law eats them raw right out of the can. And I just think I can't even touch them. I don't even want to look at them. They're slimy and gross. And I distaste when someone wants to put them on my Caesar salad. I'm like, please don't put any fish on my Caesar salad. I'm okay just the way the croutons, please.
Right.
Heather, everybody here wants to know, how's your mom?
She's great.
The golden bachelorette.
I know. Okay. Here's the deal. People are very upset that my mom was not on this new season of The Golden Bachelor as a contestant. But you have to realize Robin said she would never in a million years over, and I quote, her dead body, would she ever fight with 40 other women for the attention of a man? It should be the other way around. So I think if they want her to be the bachelorette, then they can call her. But she said, I would never live in a house with 40 other women and then expect to get attention from this man.
Makes sense. Total sense.
Did you watch The Golden Bachelor?
I've watched bits and pieces of it, and I do find it pretty funny and amusing because the women clearly just want to hang out with each other. Like, I don't even think they're very interested in him. They're all, like, kikiing in the kitchen, and they're, like, cooking for each other. Yeah, I think at that age, they just want, like, camaraderie and sisterhood. They really don't give a shit about getting dicked down, you know?
Exactly.
I read this, like, you know, byline on Dateline, you know, Hollywood Reporter or something. It said, Golden Bachelor is the sexiest version of The Bachelor ever, sexiest season of The Bachelor ever. And I thought to myself, really? Is there like a lot of sex going on The Golden Bachelor? Right. And I watched a few minutes of a couple episodes and I'm like, I don't think they're correct about that at all. Because you're right. It seems like the women are more interested in being with the women, which is, you know, understandable. And I think the guy's kind of milquetoast. Handsome dude, very nice from what I saw, but he's kind of milquetoast.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, my mom went on her first date, literally her first date in 8 years since my dad had passed the other night. And I was a chaperone on this date.
Oh, really?
And it was a wild ride. He was a great guy. He got set up through mutual friends. I think she had a great time. But it was one of those things where at first I was all gung-ho. Then I went through these different waves of emotion because I'm like, this isn't my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad is dead. Who is this man? And then I was back high because my mom was having a good time. So I got home from it and I escorted my mom home. And my husband was like, do we need to sit down and have a cocktail? Discuss all the feelings you're feeling. Because I was pushing her out the door to go do it, and then halfway through, as I was sitting at the bar at Chops down in Buckhead, having a dirty martini, spying, I was like, I'm gonna kill this man.
Right?
You had some like murderous rage. I bet that's a funky position to be in. But let's step back just 1 minute. You went on the date with your mom, or you were just like there spying, making sure everything was safe and kosher?
I was spying, making sure everything was safe and kosher. Okay. I took her down and they met at the St. Regis. They had a glass of wine there. Then they went and had dinner at the Lobster Bar.
Wow.
So I was just like floating around, keeping an eye out. And they ended up having a great time. But, you know, my mom laughed. She's like, at that age, you got to make sure that they bring like their heart medication.
Their dick medication.
Yeah, their dick medication.
You have to make sure that
That they're not going to die on you at the table.
That's true.
But you got to give it to the, if he planned the date, I mean, it's a pretty stellar first date, right? You're going to meet at the St. Regis and then head over to the Lobster Bar.
Yes.
It's a great place to go.
My mom actually made the reservations. And that's another thing. I realized we've done too much as women where we just, I mean, I kind of make all the reservations in our family. And like, there's nothing more. And it's because I just get shit done. Right? I've already thought about it. We just do it. But I'm like, I've got to start dropping little hints to my husband. Like, you need to take care of this because it is so unattractive when a woman has to make the plans.
Yeah, I don't know.
It really is.
I feel like in at least the way that I grew up, chivalry's not dead. You should open the door. You should offer to open the door. If someone doesn't want you to open the door for them, fine, fair enough, right? But and I'm trying to teach my sons that, right? Is that, you know, open the door and be a polite gentleman and, you know, pay for the meal. That's just what you should offer to pay for the meal. And you should make the plans. But
as girls, you don't want to end up at Crapplebee's.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to end up at Crapplebee's.
That is it. My husband is constantly like, well, if I make reservations for Korean barbecue, you all of a sudden have a wild hair up your ass for Vietnamese food. And I'm like, well, Jeff, you should be able to read my fucking mind.
Right. That's what I say to Jeff all the time, too, at my house.
Yeah.
Are you and Jeff, like Astrid and I, are you wasting an immense amount of time trying to figure out where you're going to go to
every day of my life. It is our number one argument every day.
I feel like it's the nonstop argument that never stops because we have to eat three times a day. And it's like, what do you want for dinner? Whatever you want. No. Whatever you want, I'm asking you. And this goes on for hours until we're both so hangry.
What type of food do you want? Just give me that.
Yeah, the Domino's ends up at the front door and we're like, fuck it, let's just eat pizza.
Yeah, I'll end up at Publix by myself eating a pub sub in the parking lot just stewing, you know, listening to a self-help podcast. And then Jeff's like, where'd you go? I'm like, I am eating a foot long by myself. Yeah.
Did you work in the hospitality industry? Were you in the restaurant business?
Honey, I have worked every job in every restaurant. I originally, if you know the restaurant by Ford Fry down in Buckhead called King and Duke.
I do.
I worked that outside patio bar one summer before I moved to LA back in 2010. Or 11 or something. And that was, I made a lot of money that summer. But yes, I've worked at every restaurant in Atlanta.
I feel like you probably served me a drink at that. It was a very popular place to go for a while there. And you worked in a bunch of restaurants in Atlanta. So did I. But I think we're a little different in ages, but
mostly in New York. I mean, I got my start in New York. So I've worked in every fine dining. I've worked in the largest sports bar right across from Madison Square Garden. Like I have slung drinks and you know, served everybody. That is how I survived.
I also did a lot of fine dining. I was section number 5 at Chili's in East Cobb, if you're familiar.
Yeah.
I may have served you a margarita without asking for your identification.
Or that good chili con queso.
Nothing like an awesome blossom to get you going.
Yeah.
The new special, how much time did it take you to work out that material? About a year? Did you?
Sorry.
Can I just ask like a minutiae question about your comedy?
Go for it.
I was curious as I'm getting into your story, how much work does it take to move from, you know, kind of these like short made for TV clips that you do on Instagram and then doing a full 60 to 70 minutes on stage, like actually set up punchline. Was that an easy transition for you? Tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, I came from stand-up. That was my original background. So for me, I basically was banking material forever. Mm. So then when I got on the road, I was like, I do like a 90-minute show. I have a ton of material. So it was, that transition was not hard, but I wanted this tour to be a real 180 from the first year I went out. Cause the first year was like an introduction to who I am. I just lost my dad. I had gone through this like really, you know, kind of traumatic experience. And so I was talking about that in a very funny, cathartic way. But then I wanted this tour to be a absolute rip the Band-Aid. Now you're getting to see the inside of my marriage. I mean, I have blowjob jokes. I'm talking about like your first year of marriage. It's a 180 from talking about my dad's funeral, which is what I wanted. But I like to ride on the road. So like 2 weeks before I'll start a new tour, I will lock myself in the basement and just, you know, like it'll look like an episode of Homeland. I'll have a whiteboard with all these thoughts and connecting. And then I do clubs and I work out the material. And then we just, you know, hit the ground running. I mean, I've probably done 100 shows. And then we shot 90 minutes and, you know, the special will only be an hour. So we'll see what makes, you know, what doesn't make it and what makes it.
I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait to see it either. I was blown away by the first special. I thought it was really fucking funny. Like belly laughs.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Hurting hard. Do you like being on the road? Is when you're married, is that difficult or is it just, is it difficult for Jeff? Is it difficult for you? Do you guys, is that a.
Honestly, I think it's why we still like each other.
The time apart.
Yes. It's like you come home and you actually miss that person. Yeah. Mm. Because eventually the people you're on the road with will drive you nuts. You know, it's. No, I enjoy it. I will say it is gnarly. It, you know, I am in 8 new cities a weekend. It's really crazy. It's the wear and tear on your body is the wildest part. Like I threw out my back at LaGuardia in May and I had to be wheelchaired to my gate to then get on the flight to a show in Pittsburgh.
You're kidding me. Like,
no, I've never been so embarrassed in my life. What happened was, I was getting out of my Uber at LaGuardia and there was a K-pop band that was getting out of a Mercedes Sprinter van in front of me. And so I like breaked my neck. I jumped out of the car to see who it was.
Yeah.
And I threw out my back. So that was my fault. That was on me.
And you're doing more touring coming up in the new year and you're going to Australia. Am I right about that?
Right.
Yes. We're going to Australia. Now that the Netflix special came out, there's people in Australia, you know, asking me to come down under. So I'm very excited to go to shows there. I've never been there. And you know, we're hitting some other markets. I'm going back to Florida, going back to Kentucky, going back to the West Coast. I mean, I've done 100 shows this for this past year, but we're going back to some other markets. So, you know, people are now just finding me too. And they're like, when will you come to Pittsburgh? I'm like, I was just there in a wheelchair. Like,
right.
So I tell people if they want to see me with this material, they're going to have to see me in the spring. Cause then, you know, the special will come out sometime, hopefully in the fall. And then we'll take some time off and then start a whole new tour.
Yeah. That's it. First of all, I think it takes a special kind of human to travel that much, right? You have to have done it a lot and you have to be the kind of personality that can adjust on the fly and quick. Like I go out for business 6 times a year. I'll fly out for 3 days and I come home and I act like a big baby for 2 weeks. I'm like, oh my God, there's so much travel and the air is thin and I'm all dry. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. A new hotel room. I never get to see the outside. I don't get to do what I want. I just bitch and complain about the travel.
Right.
But then I think about the reality, when we think about live shows, I think about the reality of going out for 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks at a time and being away from my family. And I think it takes a special kind of person like Jeff to kind of understand that, hey, this is part of the job and I'm going to be gone. But I bet in some relationships, it's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, we'll take a little break.
It just means that I'm not up his ass while he's playing golf every day. So he, you know, listen, he can come to as many shows as he wants to. And people get upset. They're like, why isn't your mom at every show? Why isn't your husband at every show? I'm like, because this is work.
Yeah.
I am in Cincinnati. I just drove 100 miles from Cleveland or whatever. I'm like, I'm on the road hustling, shaking my tits for cash.
Right.
This is not like, you know, people think that you like go to a fine dinner before the show and you're drinking a nice glass of wine. I'm like, no. We are usually eating over a trash can, wolfing down a taco. And then they're like, I got to put on a glitter suit and be on stage in 10 minutes.
That was kind of my next question is like, do you, what are the creature comforts you have when you're on the road? Do you like to go out and have drinks after your shows? Do you like to, what do you do to kind of, I don't
unwind,
know, stay sane, unwind? Yeah.
I know people want to hear some sexy story.
I do.
I always find like a local speakeasy in whatever city I'm in. And I like, you know, take salsa lessons or something. It's not that. I put on, after the show, I eat something very quickly that will then inflame my acid reflux. I don't, you know, I get off stage 11 o'clock by the time we eat, get back in the car, go to the hotel. You're looking at 12:30. I usually shower because I sweat like Cat Williams. So it's not that glamorous. If we could just sit somewhere, like if we're in Chicago doing a bunch of shows or, you know, in one city doing shows for a weekend, then it's fun. We get to like go out and we really make a time of it. But usually we're fighting for our lives. I'm usually just like, let me hydrate and put my feet up so that the ankles quit swelling.
Yeah. Amen. That's how I feel when I travel. Like whenever we go somewhere, I feel like I need a day to decompress. I need a day to get back from like a day of vacation to get back from my vacation because I always feel like traveling just wears me the fuck out. And it's not like I'm some 90-year-old man. I'm, you know, I'm in the prime of my life, Chrissy, and I don't understand why I get so dehydrated every time I get on an airplane.
Oh, the dehydration. That's
crazy.
What happens when you get in your 30s? There's weekends where I don't even drink because I'm working. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? My body, my hands feel brittle. And I'm like, my magnesium's low. I'm like, how did we get here? You know?
My magnesium's low.
What are some of the bad TV shows you watch? I'm so interested in this.
Ooh, okay.
Housewives at all?
So I'm locked and loaded into the Housewives.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't think people realize, like, when you become obsessed with the Housewives, it's because I need to feel better about my life.
Absolutely. That is what I said to my husband.
Yeah. They don't get it. They don't get it. I'm like, okay. And, you know, I love the husbands who also are like, oh, the Housewives are so stupid, so vapid, so shallow. And then I notice that my husband will be sitting, like, on a chair behind me, and he'll be locked in for, like, 2 hours. I'm like, oh, yeah.
100%. 100%.
I protest about the Bachelor series all the time, like a Bachelor Love Island or whatever it is, right? And then every time I walk into that room and Astrid is watching one of those shows, I get locked in for at least 30 minutes. I'm like, God damn, this is funny. It's unintentional. Intentionally funny, and I just find myself captivated by all the drama. Of course, I spend my days and nights watching TLC fucking reality television.
Let me tell you what. TLC, 90 Day Fiancé, my favorite is the 600-pound sisters.
I'm Team Tammy.
I'm Team Tammy, too. And I'll tell you what, when I'm having a bad day, I turn to my best friend Ray, and I go, I want some sodies. That's like my catchphrase. I need the sodies. I just want a sodie right now. And he's like, let's get you a sodie. Yeah, it's the best. It's trash TV, and I'm obsessed with it.
Heather, my favorite line in that entire series is the very first opening scene of the first episode of the first season when they're sitting around that table with all that junk food and they're drinking soda, Diet Coke right out of the bottle. And Tammy's like, Mama always told us we have to drink Diet Coke to balance out all the calories that we're having. And I thought to myself, you're going to have to drink a lot of Diet Coke. Yeah, it's going to have to be a lot of Diet Coke.
That's how my brain works. That's the girl math I also do. So I get it. I've been known to, you know, drive through Krispy Kreme and get some, you know, a hot glaze.
And
have a Diet Coke.
We came out of the studio the other day and my wife had bought us Krispy Kreme. We were so excited.
I know. It's like, give me seven of those. Good. A warm Krispy Kreme. Mm.
Okay. We have a producer here. Her name is Christina. She is like fangirl upon fangirl. She was so excited when she heard you were coming on the show. So she dropped a question. I'm going to play it for you. And then, is that okay? Can I play it for you?
Yes, because of course.
Tina needs the tea. So let's get
it. Great.
All right, here we go.
My number one question. I've been thinking about this for decades. Just kidding. Oh. Only for a few years. Are you still using the e.l.f. eyebrow pencil? Because I bought it because of you like 4 years ago and I still use them and I'm obsessed with them. And my eyebrows thank you because good brows, good mood, good day, as a mug says that my mom bought me for my birthday one time. So yeah, just want to know if you're still using that. If not, put me onto another product, babe. I trust you with my life.
So people think sometimes that I'm an influencer. I am not an influencer. I'm just a comedian with really great taste. And even though I'm a new money bitch and I started making money, I still have like, I'm an Old Navy girl. I'm a Maxinista. They're, you know, I'll buy one nice bag a year. But let me tell you, this e.l.f. eyebrow pencil, it is literally, I think like a dollar with inflation and maybe like $1.49 now. It is the best eyebrow pencil you'll ever use. I use it today. And it is from Eyes Lips Face. You can buy it at CVS, Target. It's $1 and it is, that's all I use.
Nice.
So the answer is yes, Christina. Yes. You're on to the right thing. She still backs up that e.l.f. pencil for $1.49 with inflation.
I mean, I'm sure eventually it's got to be chock full of chemicals and my eyebrows will fall off. But in the meantime, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
How do you feel about the new trend? Christy and I were just talking about this and I was like, we need to ask her. You were on Game Day. ESPN Game Day, and then a bunch of yahoos on the internet are talking about how it's a little cold outside. Yeah, your nipples, right? And so Chrissy and I were talking about now people are paying to buy clothing that have nipples already, you know, like pointy nipples already attached to them from Skims. And I mean, I guess like if that's what you want to do, cool.
Here's the thing. I feel like she's a genius. Good for her.
Amen.
That's great. But now the gig is up, right? Yeah. Like now it should have been like a low key, like where she just emailed people and was like, listen, you want fake hard nips? Because now everybody's going to think that, you know, you got the Skims bra. I mean, smart. But I got roasted. I was standing outside on College Game Day being interviewed in the cold rain two Saturdays ago. And I was jumped on there. I did like a 60-second little bit.
You did great, by the way.
Well, you're so sweet. But I'll tell you what, it is wild being opening up to that new genre of like 23-year-old frat daddies who are like, why is this bitch talking about sports? I'm like, I am not a sports analysis. I am just a comedian who went to Ole Miss. They asked me to come say two words. And my nipples happen to be hard.
I'm sorry. So crazy.
23-year-old frat boys. New genre. That's you. That's your demographic now, 23-year-old.
Honestly, I can't wait to bring them into the fold. I always tell single guys, you know, I do have a lot of women at my shows, and I have a lot of dudes too, but I always say, if you're a single guy and you're trying to get laid, come to my shows, because if you show up and you're personable and you're buying a, you know, it's so easy to buy a girl, a white claw in line before the show, you will get laid. It is not that hard.
I agree, Heather.
1,000%. I feel like... We already know each other. You come from similar backgrounds. We have similar senses of humor. Your Netflix special that's currently available, just came out, is so fucking funny. You have to go. You have to go check it out. Listener, please go check it out. Her podcast is absolutely hilarious. It's a one-woman show, and I promise you, no matter whether you have a penis or not, you're going to enjoy her comedy. It's really fucking funny. It reaches it just reaches down deep, and I don't think you put anything. You don't hold your cards to the vest. You put everything on the table, and that makes it super authentic. And that is the funniest kind of funny, is when it comes from a place of authenticity and a little bit of love. We really appreciate you coming on today. You're a comedian. You're a co-host of the Today Show. You're a wonderful wife. You're living with your mother, and God bless you, child. I hope that never happens to me.
Proud owner of nipples.
And my
wonderful
nipples are hard.
And your nipples are hard.
Yeah, great nips.
And she's got great nips. But I'd also like to add to that and say, a friend of the commercial break. Heather, you've been wonderful, and I hope we can have you on again soon. Come back after you get done with Australia and tell us about all the things that didn't kill you.
I will. Thank you for having me, and I cannot wait to come back, and I will, hopefully. I'm sad. I just found out that you can't really hug the koalas because they all have chlamydia, so I'm devastated about that. I'm already, really upset. Yeah.
I think they will attack you, too, I read somewhere. It's like, they're not all that safe to touch. They look cute, but they're really strong and dangerous.
So you might, if I don't make it back, just know I was choked out by a koala. Okay.
We will be sad if you don't. We love you, Heather.
Well,
best to you. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
I really appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Let's cut to the chase. We love you, and we want to hear your sweet angelic voices asking us for advice. So give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. If you're not ready for that kind of commitment, which I understand, send us a text instead at 855-TCB-8383. And as always, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And this wouldn't be a TCB promo if I didn't tell you to go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/The Commercial Break, to watch all of our amazing video edits. You can also go to tcbpodcast.com to find everything we have ever put on the website. Let's listen to some sponsors, and then we are back on track, baby. Love you. Bye.
Hey everybody, wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Okay, do you want to know what the single biggest challenge for me as a single person was? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking nutritious meals. Do you want to know what the biggest challenge for me as a human with 25 to 60 family members living in my house? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking a nutritious meal. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a big stress point around here. And since I don't really know how to cook, that stress often falls on other family members. But this holiday season, we're going to try something different. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help us fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to our door. Because Factor's never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, all you have to do is heat and enjoy. You can choose from over 35 weekly flavor-packed, fresh and never-frozen meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. And guess what? It's all delivered right to your front door. With Factor, we can be assured that we're making sustainable choices. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. Hey, look at that, a company who's trying to do some good. So head to factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and use the code commercialbreak50 to get 50% off. That's code commercialbreak50 at factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and get 50% off. We also want to thank Factor for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
Oh man, what an interview with Heather. I love Heather. Oh, I feel like Heather is a friend of ours. Do you feel like whenever we're talking to like semi famous people out there in the world or here on the show that like you have this dream that they're going to be your friend somehow, some shape or form?
Yes.
I feel like I want to be Heather's friend.
Absolutely.
She does remind me of you for some reason. The second that I started seeing her
That's a huge compliment.
The second I started seeing her shit, her personality reminded me of you. Her sensibilities, like her sense of humor, it reminded me of you.
Well, we have a lot in common.
You guys do have a lot in common. Yeah. You guys should be best friends. Can you be best friends?
I would love to.
So then
best
we can give the show some
Heather.
Credibility. Like, I feel like if we show up
we'll
on a red carpet
her
or two.
Coattails.
Yeah. Is that possible? Next time you're on today, we should have asked her, but we didn't. Yeah. Well, we got to build up some credibility in the bank with Heather. But I feel like next time Heather is on the Today Show, they should do some profile on us, right?
We'll cut to us.
Profiles and courage with the commercial break. Cut to us. Yeah. Heather's had a rocket ship to the moon on Stardom, and then there's the commercial break.
Still Where looking, did they go wrong?
Yeah, still looking for their big break. 6,012 episodes in. What can you do? It happens differently for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Something it never happens for her.
I'm so proud of her.
Yeah. And you get the sense that her dad would have been proud of her, too, you know, after he passed away. And now her mom's living with her. So she's watching all this. I love that her mom's out on a date.
Yes.
I love that her mom's out on a date.
The world again. Yeah.
Did I tell you the time? We're bringing my mom on soon, and we got to have my mom tell the story about the first guy that she dated after she divorced my father. He was a little person.
Oh.
He was a little person, and they showed up at my Chili's for their first date.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can imagine the surprise on my face.
We must tell the story.
Yes. I mean, I felt all the ways Heather did, but I was working at the restaurant where they were having dinner, and it was a fucking Chili's. I mean, for God's sakes. I felt like, come on, man. You could have taken her somewhere else besides the place where her son works, and the food is really crappy. I mean, Could you not? All right, tcbpodcast.com. All of Heather's information will be up there. All the links for her tour, heatherontour.com, at Heather McCann, Instagram, and Absolutely Not, the podcast, the super funny podcast, available on all podcast players just like us. You can also go to tcbpodcast.com to get your free piggy fronting sticker. Hit the contact us button. Drop down menu says, I want my free sticker. Give us your physical address. Tell us if you want us to sign it or say something or whatever. We'll be happy to do that. And then we'll send it off over the next couple of weeks. 626 ask TCB the number 3. That's 1-626 ask TCB the number 3. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. You want to ask one of our guests a question, maybe we'll have them back on. You can drop that in there. I'll save it in a file so that next time, if they ever agree to come back to the commercial break, we'll ask it again. Ask Brian's mom. Ask TCB for advice. You know how it all goes. Text us at that hotline, 626-ASK-TCB, the number 3. Or you can leave us a voicemail if you have real courage, profile and courage, and we might use your voice on the show. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And if you would, please, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Don't forget, December 5th, the TCB Audio Scavenger Hunt. Win $1,000. We're so excited about this. December 5th, episodes 300 through 350. That's where you get your clues. Okay, Chrissy, I think it's been a rather eventful day.
I think it has.
So I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
And best to you.
And I'll tell you best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for supporting us. You're the best listeners in the podcast universe. Until next time, we always say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.